Blog Talk Radio.
How would you like to make your work more enjoyable, be more creative and relaxed, all while sitting at your desk? That's exactly what my Serenity Rug has done for me. This revolutionary footrest, I can't even call it a footrest, because this thing encourages movement of your feet, which results in more blood flow. While traditional footrests advocate the motionless placement of your feet, I found that I'm unconsciously digging my feet into the long, soft grass strands of the Serenity Rug. It delivers an incredibly relaxing sensation that closely resembles the feeling of an exotic foot massage. If you have ever had a foot massage that made you want to stay there for hours, you know what I'm talking about. If you have not heard about the Serenity Rug, check them out at serenityrug.com and join the exclusive Serenity Rug community and enjoy a feeling of comfort and relaxation that most will never experience. They've sold out before, so I suggest you do your feet a favor and grab one of these. Again, that's serenityrug.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Barefoot is Legal show. I am your host, Kaliki, and I have with me Erin. How are you doing, Erin?
Doing well, thank you. How are you today?
I'm doing pretty good. I can't complain. How was your week?
Oh, it's a little bit busy, but, you know, organization is always fun when you get it all done.
Yeah, definitely. See everything coming together and all that. So I'm sorry.
Oh, no worries.
So this is actually our first time working together, so I'm excited about that. And how do you say your last name?
Oh, it's Quater Laughlin, but, you know, that's just kind of a mouthful, so Erin's good enough.
Okay. All right, wonderful. Well, welcome to back onto the show, because I know that you were on here with Dave before. How was your experience with that the first go round? So since you're going to be one of the new hosts on the BIL show,
well, it was really good. It was nice to, you know, explore some ideas and how to present ourselves in what I will call an appropriate civil manner instead of disruptive, which, of course, is,
yeah,
I think, very important to, if you're going to do something, do it right and not,
mm-hmm,
you know, create community angst.
Right. Good. Well, we have a couple of guests that are supposed to be joining us pretty soon, and one of them has a story about having problems in a store, so we're going to see how he conducted himself with that situation. And we have another longtime barefooter to join us and to tell us about some of his experiences. So did you, before, when you were on, did you talk about any of your experiences?
A few. Being in North Idaho, barefoot is a bit more, I'm going to use the word seasonal, for your own.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want frostbite. And we're
right,
getting close to that right now here. In fact, the temperature outside is fine, but the temperature on the ground is not so conducive for barefoot. You could freeze to a sidewalk right now, so it's always good to have a little bit of a shoe on so it doesn't get bad. And
right,
a lot of the stores and community here, it's firmly marked on what they want to have in their store. And if there's no,
mm-hmm,
signs posted, you can go in barefoot. That's pretty much, they don't have a problem with that. But if it is posted, it's right at the door. They let you know how they feel. So there's a respect boundary that's kind of already there in
right,
Coeur d'Alene. So that's a very nice way to have it. And, of course, if a new store comes in, you can always test it out. And, you know, well, I didn't see it posted, but I'll be happy to, you know, throw on my shoes for you. And, you know, go from there and see where you want to shop or not.
Right. Well, I know that a lot of some of us will, you know, not really protest, I guess wouldn't be the correct word, but whether it's posted or not, you know, people will go in and say, you know, I have the right to be barefoot, but they also have the right to not give you service, I suppose, as well. But that's where some of us are a little more, a little better with confrontation than others, and know how to talk about it without it being a, you talk about it with the owners or whoever's running the store without it being a big issue. Me, I'm a little different on that aspect, because usually if they tell me, hey, you got to put shoes on, I'm just going to go get my shoes. Because it's usually to a point where I'm with people or something, and I don't want to make a scene or, you know, cause an issue in the place that we're going. But there's others that will sit there and, you know, take the confrontation and, you know, explain the laws and or the non-laws and things like that. And I think that they're pretty good in what they say. It's just I have a harder time being one of those people because I don't do too great with the confrontation.
Right. I don't have a problem with speaking of my view, but often I just find it they're a little bit more receptive if I go ahead and put my shoes on first and talk to them briefly and then let them know, well, then this won't be a place that I'll shop regularly or, you know, have people that I know go here, because some of us do go barefoot, prefer to be barefoot. And if you feel restrictive, then we can restrict our money. And you can have someone else who likes wearing shoes come here. That's perfectly fine. But sometimes if you put your shoes on, there's mutual respect back and forth. And they're a little bit less antsy.
Yeah.
Trying to get you out the door.
Well, that makes sense. That's a good way to approach that. I hadn't really thought about that way. Because really, here where I am in Georgia, I don't have very many problems or confrontations with anyone too much. Now, there's this one particular place that that I go every so often, and it's usually just a little night out with my wife, and we go to shoot pool, and I've gone in there barefoot before, and they just didn't notice. But you know, when they did, I didn't, you know, really buck at it. I just went back to the car and got my little flip flops and came back in, and then I kick them off whenever I'm in there. So still, you know, they didn't say anything after that. But I guess it was just coming in the door. You know, they wanted your shoes to be on. But I think that's a really good way to deal with that situation is to go ahead and do that mutual respect and then present it to them that, you know, this isn't a place that I'll be coming very often. I'll spend my money elsewhere. I like that.
And it works. Yeah, and it works pretty good. In Coeur d'Alene, it's at one time, this was a main mining, logging, bustling community. Now it's mostly tourist dollars coming here and special events. And so a lot of business is geared towards the tourists in a particular area town. No problem there. But in some of the older community areas where it's original ma and pa handed down, they're really fussy about it. But You know which parts of town to kind of go to. It sounds like segregation for being barefoot, but you know where you can community shop and be perfectly fine with it. And although I'm from Florida, that's where I was born, and I'm kind of like almost bi-coastal, but not quite. There's a mountain range or so in the middle. And then being here for part of the time, I'm part of the community. I've been here for just call it about 50 years now. And so they're used to me wandering around barefoot. They like sometimes, Aaron, will you please go put your shoes on? You're making us uncomfortable. And it's like, well, you got your shoes on. You're comfortable. I'm comfortable too. Or I'm in a neighborhood where, well, we all get to voice our opinions and we're pretty polite about it. But they think it's absolutely hilarious for me in the middle of the winter if there's not too much snow, barefoot snow shoveling. They think that's absolutely silly, but, you know, if it's not that much, it's okay. I will go get some shoes on if it's like, oh, anything over 6 inches, I'd rather have shoes on to do my shoveling.
Wow. Golly. We never see that much snow, so it only snows every few years, you know, once every few years, and so I'm waiting on it to do it because I've actually never gone and put my bare feet in the snow. And I know I can't do it just briefly, but I'm going to do it. But, wow, that's amazing because I can't even imagine at this point trying to snow shovel in my bare feet. Wow.
Well, I used, well, as a child growing up, I used to chop wood too. I was raised on a ranch, and mm-hmm. I would be in trouble by my parents all the time. Will you get your shoes on? And I'd be out chopping the wood, and they were, you're going to lose your foot. And it's like, well, I haven't lost one yet, so I'm doing pretty good, I think.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I grew up in the country, and I was on a farm. You know, I lived on a farm where it was mostly cow pastures and things like that. So we ran around barefoot all the time and did everything without shoes, cut grass and everything, you know. So, I mean, and honestly, how much protection is your shoe going to be against any kind of blade with force behind it, you know, such as a lawnmower, an axe, or whatever. So putting on shoes, I don't think it's going to stop any injury that you may sustain if the blade would go astray.
Yeah, I know. My parents were just that way, but my grandparents, because it was a family ranch, they were right next door. I got to do everything and anything I wanted to over there barefoot. They didn't care if I cleaned out the barn barefoot, chased down cows, whatever, I could do anything. Then it's like I crossed the magical line over to parent land, and they're like, where are your shoes? And it's like, I don't know. I think I lost them. I can go find one. I know where one is. And they're just kind of shaking their heads.
That's hilarious. So I have a part-time barefoot daughter. She took her graduation pictures in her bare feet, and some of her senior pictures she has, they're outside, and she has she's barefoot. And then when she actually did her graduation, she didn't get to walk across the stage barefoot because they have, you know, rules as far as what you have to wear for females and what you have to wear for males. And if they don't go by that, then they don't receive their diploma. But at the end of it, she kicked those high heels off, and we were all out taking pictures with her, and she was in just her bare feet in her gown or robe, whatever. And the newspaper for our town was out there taking pictures as well. So I have a picture of all of us out there and her in the front with her bare feet and her diploma. So I thought that was really cool.
Well, and I think the diploma is the most important part, and, you know, with some of the things I have seen with graduation, I think going barefoot is not that bad with some of the things I've seen on the internet.
I know, because they, you know, force them to wear these dress shoes, and then so a lot of these girls get these really tall heels, and they look they struggle going up and down the steps or walking across the field or whatever, and you see that one poor girl, she stumbled around for like, I don't know, 9 or 10 seconds. And it looked like it just broke every bone in her foot and in her legs. I don't know if you've seen that video, but I was just like, oh my gosh, that poor girl.
Well, and I have to admit, due to certain things, if I have to go, I have a couple different things I do. I volunteer at a children's museum, so I can be barefoot around doing all my volunteer stuff all I want to because I run that. And I also do photography, so I can do that all I want barefoot. But I do work for a large bank. And if I have to go to one of the banking events, yes, that is strictly regulated, and I do have my shoes in my closet. However, these are shoes that I know I can wear, and yes, they are high heels, so I can do it, but I'm also a tiptoeer, so it's kind of like cheating anyway. And I know that after whatever I have to do, those shoes can go nice in the closet, and I've got shoes that are like 20 years old in superb condition, so barefooting saves money on shoes. But they're kind of like trophy shoes now. It's like, well, okay, there they sit. All right, I wore it for, but it's like that one outfit, one pair of shoe, one event, and you never look back at it again, and there's that outfit, there's those shoes, and it's like, huh. I guess maybe in the next 10 years I might wear them again, but, you know, it's very expensive anyway to do that. I'd rather be barefoot like I am right now in the office.
Yeah, that's a great thing about where I work. I'm a nurse, and, of course, when I go and see my patients, I do home health. And when I go see my patients, I'm required to wear shoes. And that's fine with me because there's, you know, a lot of times I'm not real sure what I'm going to be walking into. And a lot of the situations aren't, you know, the most ideal. So I wear shoes to the patient's house. But at the office, I kick my shoes off and, you know, wander around the office without them on. And but I have them there, and just in case, you know, somebody important comes in, and that way I can at least look presentable for the company that I work for, if need be. Like I went to my daughter's school, and I usually go in there all the time and with no shoes on, so it's not a big deal to me. And there's one of the secretaries, or I'm not really sure what her title is, but she always checks to make sure whether I'm barefoot or not. And she says she thinks it's great because she's jealous because she just wants to be able to kick her shoes off and run around without them on at work, and she can't. And the assistant principal said something to me one day. He's like, "What'd you do, run out of your shoes?" And I was, and she piped up and she said, "No, she never wears shoes. She said if you see her in shoes, there's a problem." I thought it was so funny.
My mother's still alive, and I say I just didn't inherit the same genes because I'm adopted. So I go down to Florida and visit her. She's in the Gulf Breeze area, and she's right at the ocean, right there. So all I was going to do is going to go jet out the door barefoot and go for a walk. Oh, you can't do that. And it's like, excuse me? It's like,
wow.
And she stood in front of me in front of the door and told me I couldn't go barefoot. And so I said, fine, Mom. And I tossed on my flip-flops. I made it down the steps. And then she was looking at me out the window, and I put my flip-flops, took them off my feet, parked them in the lawn, and walked the rest of the way. And with her yelling out the front door, "You better get those shoes on, young lady." And I said, nope, you can't catch me. And I wandered off to the I wandered off to the beach and was wandering around, and I come back and she goes, "You're going to die of tetanus." I said, "On what, grass?"
Oh, my goodness. Wow. That's funny.
So, yeah, it's so being around her, she every Christmas, I know what's going to come in that box. It's going to be shoes every birthday. And so that's how I have lots of shoes that I hardly ever wear in a closet right now. But, yeah, that's what she buys me. However, if I go over to my Aunt Donna's house, she's like, "Kick your shoes off the door and just go in." And so it's like, "Aunt Donna, what happened to my mom?" She goes, "I don't know. She's just sometimes not right when it comes to shoes."
That's too funny. So they give you shoes every year, in hopes that you're going to actually wear them, I suppose.
Right. I think she just wants me to send pictures of my feet in shoes to see them on me, and she'll ask. "Well, have you worn your shoes yet?" No. "Don't you have an outfit to go with him?" "I can take care of that." And it's like, "That's okay, Mom." I'm a grown up. I can go shop for myself. And then she'll ask me, and finally I will go put them on. I will walk around the house once. I'll put them back in the closet or wear them one day to work. But she buys shoes that any tighter, they'll pinch off the circulation in every article of your foot. And she knows my shoe size, and it's like, "Well, why are you buying these things?" "Oh, I picked those up at the dollar store for you." And it's like, "Oh, thank you, Mom."
Too funny. All right. Well, we have now one of our guests has arrived, and his name is Dakota Hudson, and we're going to bring him in and talk to him and see how things are going in Barefoot Land for him. Hi, Dakota.
Hey, how's it going? Thank you very much for having me on.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. We are so glad to have you. So tell us a little bit about you and how long you've been a barefooter. You there? Uh-oh.
Did we lose Dakota?
I don't know. Hello, Mr. Dakota. I don't know. He's still showing that he's on. I don't know if he's having issues with his phone or what, but just start talking whenever you can, okay? And then he must be going to call back because it just dropped. I think he might have been having some phone issues or something.
Oh. That can happen in this day and age.
Yes, definitely.
I verify there's charge on this phone that I'm speaking on, and if I need to, I can go over. And, oh, I still have phones that plug into the wall, too. So.
Yeah. All right, he's back. All right. Are you there now?
Yep.
All right. I don't know what happened before.
Not quite sure either. But yeah, I've just been barefooting for the past. It's been about 6 or 7 months. Somebody introduced it to me because I have a bit of chronic back pain, back spasms, and low circulation that runs in my family and my legs. And ever since barefooting, a lot of that has been alleviated very much.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
Yes. And I've it's just a more connected lifestyle, I feel. I feel every step I take, I'm a little bit more balanced. I feel more secure. I don't, you know what I mean? I don't slip up as much or trip.
Right.
Because I can feel everything on the ground. It's been a great lifestyle change for me. I'm very much enjoying it, and I'm very much enjoying the community that you guys have around it as well. It's a very positive vibe, and like I said, it's just, and thank you again for having me on the show.
Not a problem. We love to hear from people in our group, and you know, get to hear the experiences that barefooting is. I don't know, to hear about all the different experiences and how barefooting has changed their life, and you know, whether it be from pain to, or you know, improving pain and circulation, like with you and for me as well, because that's you know, it's helped me a lot in that way too. I don't have nearly the pain in my legs and in my hips and in my back that I used to have. Now that I go barefoot more often. No, I went for a few months without wearing shoes at all because I worked at home and I could do that.
Right.
Now that I have to wear them every so often, you know, it's not, I kind of blame it on, you know, having to put my shoes on, you know, the little bit that I do. But I've noticed, you know, when I do wear my shoes, I don't have the relief that I, you know, usually do, if that makes any
right.
sense.
No, it totally does. And it's towards wintertime now, and I'm up in Maine, so it's a little colder. So getting to barefoot is, it can't really in the mornings because it's colder in the mornings. Towards the afternoon, I'm able to take my shoes back off. It's not going to be long for that, though. It's going to end real here soon when it gets real, real cold. But, I mean, every time I put my shoes on, I can feel like it's almost like the diminishing of health. Almost, I can feel it. I can feel the lack of circulation in my feet. My back hurts at the end of the day, and so do my legs. And, you know, it's just such a noticeable difference, and people don't even really realize it before they do it. How much of an impact it does have on their lives. And a lot of people, we feel very disconnected to the natural world and have a lack of understanding where we are in it. We're just like any other animals, just like elephants themselves. They have a means of pumping blood back up from their feet. Every time they take a step, it helps circulate the blood back up. And it's very much for us too. It's the same mechanics.
Yeah.
Every time we take a step, it helps the circulation of blood in our feet and in our legs. And when you wear shoes, too, and when you tie them too tight, you're restricting blood flow, too. And not to mention harboring bacteria and everything that can have big impacts on our feet and our health.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Now, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Erin.
No, that's okay. I'm sorry. No, I have nerve damage due to a car accident back when I was 18, 19, so I literally have numb spots in my feet, and I, with shoes on, I can't feel my placement on steps in particular.
Right.
So I tip, and I'm really good at tipping, and I don't have to have any beverage involved. It's just tip, go.
Yeah.
And so just wearing shoes themselves create more hazards for me that without the shoes, you know, I can feel enough in my parts of the feet that it's like, okay, I am firmly planted. I am not going to go tea kettling someplace. And,
right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, very much. And what it is it's sensory. So we have vision, feeling, and hearing to connect us to the world around us. And we wear shoes, we disconnect ourselves as far as the information we get from our feet, where our balance is, where we are in space and time and everything, it disconnects us. And when you don't wear shoes, you're getting that sensory you're losing when you wear them.
Right.
So, and that the balance, and then the muscles also develop too, because shoes take away or they kind of supplement some of the balance too. And it kind of takes away from that those key developments in your body and your equilibrium that you have naturally. And you also notice whenever you put shoes on a toddler, you watch them walking just fine without shoes, and then you put shoes on them and they're freaking falling everywhere.
Uh-huh. Absolutely. I have fallen down steps multiple times. That's one of the reasons why, right after I fell a couple of times, that's when I started going barefoot completely, because I was wearing shoes both times that I fell, and it was, you know, right in, I don't know, within a 2-week time period that I fell down steps twice. And I was like, yeah, I'm gonna try this without some shoes on for a while. And I was just determined to go as long as I could without wearing shoes, and ended up getting the job that I have now. And I was so bummed that I had to break my streak of no shoes. But it's all right.
Yeah, it's like I was saying, it's that sensory input that you're missing. So instead of that bottom of your shoe, when it starts to slip, you don't feel that until it's too late. Now, when you don't have shoes on, you can feel the friction under your feet, and you can feel the slipping, so that your body adjusts naturally and subconsciously.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and
then you lose that with shoes.
I was going to tell you just a minute ago, Erin, and she says that she's out there snow shoveling in her bare feet. Now, have you walked around in some snow?
Barefooted, no. And I've been delving into the culture around shoes, and shoes hadn't developed anywhere else where there wasn't cold weather. Cold shoes were invented by, or rather pioneered by, those in colder environments to keep their feet warm. And those kind of weathers, and but that's quite bold of her to not wear shoes in the snow. I commend her for that.
Well, I have my limitations. I know that when it gets to a certain point, or I have a outdoor thermometer. I know when it's too cold out, or, you know, just like, you know, you get the bottom of your foot wet, you can stick to ice. That's not the, you know, you don't need to do that.
It's like sticking your tongue.
No. Yeah, that's what I was just thinking. What's the show? It's a Christmas movie.
Story.
Yeah, and he gets his tongue stuck on the pole. I can see, like, getting your feet stuck to the, oh my gosh, that would be terrible. Your feet stuck on some ice. You can't move. Oh no.
Yeah.
And I've had similar experiences. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, and I actually have moccasins that if I want to wear moccasins, and they work very nice, and they do, because they're a thinner sole, you get enough feel. And, you know, I've got some that have a thin, like the new soles that they put on the bottom of the M4, call it work moccasins, because I guess they're afraid of thumbtacks going through them. They're thumbtack thick. And I also have my elk hides, but they're burnished. My elk hides I've had since I was 12, and they're burnished on the bottom.
Oh,
so
wow.
I don't mind going out in those, and it's like, hey, here I go.
Right. Well, if you think about it, the moccasin, it's a piece of leather, so it's almost like a callus, in a way. So it's an extra protective layer. Right.
I've
but
already
you still
told
have.
My wife, that's what I'm sorry, but
it's just an extra layer, and it allows your feet to naturally sit as they do. I've always had issues, and the only shoes I can wear are skate shoes or Vans, because they don't have arch support. I can't have arch support. I don't have flat feet. I have a very pronounced arch. I've been told by doctors I have a good example of a foot. My arch is perfect and where everything sits. And I can't use arches because that pressure on that part of my foot after a while really starts to hurt. And then also numbness in my toes, because it's pushing on arteries and veins in that part of your foot, and it's reducing circulation.
Right.
And then you start to lose feeling. But I had an experience, and I hadn't been wearing shoes for a while, and I worked at a winery, and I was able to get away with not wearing shoes out in the vineyards when I did my trimmings and grape picking. But as soon as I got towards the winery, my boss's mother, she's not about bare feet at all. Shoe coverings at all times. So I would put my shoes on anytime I would go towards the tasting room or anywhere where she would be. But eventually I had to get new shoes. And when I did, and I had them on before I was going into work, Well, we went to Hardee's for breakfast, and as I walked into the Hardee's to go to the restroom, the floor was a little wet, and I was wearing my shoes, and I almost slipped and fell because my shoe slipped out from underneath me, and I'd never had that before. Like, even on the most slippery of surfaces, bare feet, I could feel that change in friction and was able to adjust accordingly. But as soon as I put shoes on, I almost ate it.
Oh, no. Oh, my goodness.
And that's when it really clicked to me what being barefoot is really about.
Mm-hmm.
It's about getting as close as you can to your natural form, which is in itself, which nature is perfect. We are not. And the closer we get to being more natural, the closer we get to being perfect.
Absolutely. That's what I was going to say just a minute ago, is that I've already told my wife that I want some moccasins for Christmas, because if I've got to wear shoes, I want it to be some shoes that I want to wear.
Right.
And she's, because, I mean, I have a circulatory issue, and I can't even begin to imagine how you guys up in the colder state do, because here in Georgia it doesn't get that cold, and it doesn't snow very often. So, but once it gets in the low 60s, I really can't tolerate the cold because I start turning colors. So,
right.
She gets on to me about having something on my feet. And so I told her, I was like, well, I want some moccasins. I just want some, leather bottom moccasins. And that way, that'll make her happy and make me happy.
You're right. And so she feels like you're going to be a little bit more protected, and that gives her comfort. And then also there's like that compromise, and it's always good to have in a marriage too.
Oh yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, you guys, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and then we'll come back, and you have a story that I know you want to share with us. And we will let you tell your story when we return from our little commercial break, okay?
All right.
We will return.
Hi, everyone. Here is a sponsor that you can help save yourself some money and find new places to check out. Save Around is a very popular coupon book throughout most major U.S. cities. With Save Around, you get buy one, get one free restaurants, discounts on many department stores, car rentals, flowers, etc. With Save Around, you not only fund our network, you help fund your family and save yourself some money while eating out. I have a family of four. A decent meal is upwards of $60 for us, and if I could save $10 to $15 while taking out the family, I am very happy. You can view these books in your area before buying. Please check out freedomizerradio.com and our barefootislegal.org website for the link. Check out the new book, click on your city, and in a few days, you will be saving yourself some cash with your new Save Around book.
Got a spare tire around that waist? Is your muffin top over the top? Do you binge eat uncontrollably? We are the government, and we are here to help you. Here at our free FEMA weight loss camp, we have numerous ways to help you shed those unsightly, unwanted pounds. FEMA, or Fatties, Eating Mitigated, automatically has a communist-style weight loss czar that specializes in centralized weight loss planning and communal extended fasting programs to shed that fat away in no time. Skin and boned means extra toned is the motto. Just remember, there is no way you can do it on your own. We will forcefully assist you into compliance. Failure is not an option in this utopian wonderland. How fantastic! Typical workout regimes include digging ditches and restocking them with dirt, building railways and more. Get life skills while you get lean. How do you join? Simple. Recite the Constitution in a public commons or violate the Patriot Act that includes simple misdemeanors. It's really that easy to get your own fenced-in slice of Americana. Stop being a fatty. The state is your daddy.
Welcome back, everybody, and this is the Barefoot is Legal show. If you want to join in with us, you can call our guest call-in line at 319-527-6208, and you can call that line and just listen in, or you can push one and let us know that you're ready to talk to us. And we're back with Aaron and Dakota, and Dakota has an experience that he's had that he would like to share with us. So go ahead when you're ready.
All right. So we were, me and a couple of friends were hanging out, and it was getting a little late. We were running low on gas. So we had stopped at a gas station, and I was quite famished at the time. So I was going to go in and get me something to snack on. When we had walked into the store, my friend who was wearing shoes, because, you know, he's just with the normal lifestyle of wearing shoes, and I wasn't. We walked into the store, and before I walked in, the lady was sitting outside smoking a cigarette. She immediately looked down at my feet, because I have pale white feet, and it's like fluorescent. And she immediately commented, like, you need to put shoes on. I was like, and I simply said, no, I don't. It's my beliefs for religious and health reasons. I don't need to put shoes on. So I just went ahead and walked in the store anyways. Just like I always do when I walk into stores, like I'm supposed to be there. I don't look nervous or like I'm going to get in trouble because I don't believe I am and I don't believe I'm doing anything wrong. So I walk with the purpose and intent that I'm doing nothing wrong. So I just walked into the store and I was walking around and she was still arguing with me that I needed to wear shoes, telling me that I have to put shoes on. They have a no shoes, no shirt, no sign, sign in front of the door. And I told her that that is unconstitutional and she cannot tell me to wear shoes. Well, then she began to tell me that she was going to call the authorities if I didn't leave the store. And my friend was sitting at the counter trying to buy the gas at the pump. And he was also refused service because I wasn't wearing shoes.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes. So he was denied service. Just the same as I was, and we had simply just – I told her that she needed to go ahead and look up the laws because she didn't know what she was talking about, and she had no right to call the police. Told her even to go ahead and call the police because they can't do anything either.
Oh, my God.
So seeing that the situation wasn't going to alleviate itself, I went ahead and did the right thing, was going to be the bigger person, and I just walked away from the situation and we went somewhere else.
Wow.
And lo and behold, the next gas station we went to, I walked in with no shoes on, and they didn't care. It's a riot. And Target seems to be more receptive to that, too. And also because I worked at that Target for 2 years, so everybody there knew me and wasn't going to say anything anyways. And get away with murder in that store. but it's just strange because there was also another gas station experience I had, and I was kicked out. Immediately, as soon as I walked in, the guy at the counter said something. He said, you need to get out. You're not wearing shoes. And I told him again, like I told the other lady, I don't need to wear shoes. It's your religious and health belief, and you cannot discriminate against that. Well, he continuously told me to get out of the store because they had produce in there, and I can't have bare feet because of produce. Now, that's correct, but it only applies to the workers. And the reason why it only applies to the workers is because when fruit is in storage – it's at pallet height. When it's at pallet height, it's near your feet. So for cleanliness reasons, workers who go back in storage, yes, they need to wear shoes because they can't have their feet that close to the produce. But when it's out on the shelves, it's at waist height or belly height for a reason, because it's away from the floor and it's away from any kind of contaminants. So that rule does not apply to patrons. For that reason, because they've already taken the precautions, the necessary steps to, you know, get rid of that.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, unless you're picking up your produce and checking it out with your feet, then I don't think it should be an issue.
Right. But you could do that. I'm pretty like, and I've actually developed.
They need you.
Right. And that's always like what I wondered too, is that we have, you know, people who are handicapped in a way with no hands or no arms that use their feet for everything. And that's not gross to anybody because they have to do that.
Right.
Yeah, that always kind of made me feel ill-content, I can actually pick up things with my feet and write with them because
yes.
after my car accident, my feet actually and legs healed faster than my hands and arms.
Mm-hmm.
So I write with my feet. I can pick up things with my feet, and if I want to, I can eat with my feet. So it always kind of bothered me because it's like, you know, here it is low on the shelf. I'll kick it, you know, if I have my shoe on, I'll kick it off and pick it up with my feet and bring it up to my hand and have people stare at me, but no one's like mad at me for I touched it with my feet. But only the, I'm just going to call it the front of store guard has an issue with me doing that. And I'm polite. I don't pick up produce if I'm walking around on, you know, but, you know.
Right.
It just makes
right.
you wonder because, okay, what about someone who, based on a handicap situation, the only functioning part is the mouth. Are they going to be, and I've seen them pick up stems of apples and put them in their cart with their mouth. Oh my gosh, what are we going to do about that? And it's like, well, I hope when I get home, I'll remember to wash my food before I eat
right.
it anyway, because, you know, there's all other types of worse stuff on it that came from the store
right.
other than someone touching it.
right.
Absolutely.
And from experience working in fields and stuff like that, working in the wine industry, yes, wash your fruit.
yeah, definitely.
we ferment the grapes, so the alcohol kind of cleans it. But yes, very much wash your fruit.
Yes. All right, we have joining us now. We have I'm going to try to say this name correctly. It's Terry Crevilla, I believe, and he also is a barefooter. And did I say your name right?
You got really close. Got closer than most people. It's Crevilla.
Oh, Crevilla. Yeah. Okay.
yeah.
Well, thank you for joining us. We have Aaron and Dakota. And we were just talking about their barefoot, all of our barefoot experiences, and we're so happy to have you. Tell us a little bit about you.
Well, you know, I've always enjoyed walking around barefoot. I grew up in an area that it was very uncommon, and I got a job down in around Tampa Bay, Florida, and moved down there and worked down there for 7 years. And in the course of me living down there, I just found at first it was flip-flops, and then it was I really don't like being binded up in shoes. And eventually it became a barefoot lifestyle. And I noticed even though it's down in Florida and it's warm in that all most of the year down there, there's a lot of people that it depends on where you're at, whether on how well it's accepted. So I found the places I like to be. Eventually I started walking on pavement, and even in those 90-degree temperatures would walk around and on city streets, and eventually I built up a tolerance, and the more that I read about it, the more I realized that naturally our feet build up fat cells. It builds up a layer in the natural situation. Our feet are just fine on those environments. We lose that ability being wrapped up in shoes every day of our lives. So
right.
I realized over time, I realized my toes were getting crooked, my feet, you know, things weren't the same. And as I went to this way of living, things have really straightened out and gone back to like it was when I was a kid. And I love it. I just think it's an absolute natural way to live. And some of the problems I started to develop that I would read about people as they aged, stiff neck and things like in my lower back, and I had a knee that gave me a little trouble. And as I walked around and spent months and developed into years, those problems worked themselves out. I honestly don't really have much trouble with it and with anything at this point, because I'm getting that full range of motion. It's kind of like how they practice martial arts and barefoot, because you're stretching your body the way it's designed to stretch fully. And
right,
that's the effect it's had for me. So I can tell a few stories, but I'm such an advocate, I just want to talk about the benefits. It's the first thing that comes to mind.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And that's what Dakota and I were saying as well. And as well as Aaron, we have all benefited from the health benefits part. It's not just because we enjoy it. It's actually helped us as far as pain and in various parts of our body and circulation. So it's great to have someone else, confirm the fact that, this lifestyle is better for our bodies. Because, we can feel everything better, and it doesn't put the that body out of alignment, because you're using your body the way it's meant to be used.
Sure, absolutely.
And you're able to feel everything better, the friction, the different surfaces, and all that. I mean, it just helps immensely with various issues. Now, I'm going to kind of backtrack for just a second. I know Dakota had an issue with going into a store and got kicked out. Now, how long ago was that? Has it been a while? Dakota? Okay, well, maybe.
Well, I could say something about that myself. I've had that.
Yeah.
It's occurred in certain places, but primarily it was Walmart. And I was amazed because I was in Florida, and they bought a chain of grocery stores that were very popular around Tampa Bay. And they became Walmart grocery stores. And that's all they sold was primarily food products. And I would go in there because I worked two jobs, and I would go in after the second job, and they'd be open past midnight. They're open 24 hours. And I would go in there. And after, the second or third time of going into the one that was closest to my house, they were telling me something about, well, you can't be in here barefoot. You can't. You got to have shoes on. And I said, shoes? I said, look at these people. They're wearing a thin, maybe a quarter or half inch thick flip-flop that a nail or a piece of glass would go right through it. So what's the difference? I mean, and they would tell me, well, that's, regulation. And I just started looking it up, and I realized all the things that are stated on Barefoot is Legal nowadays about there's no laws in all 50 states. There's no regulations. I was a restaurant manager. I was the general manager. And I did that for years. So I knew the regulations. I, had Safe Serve and, the different licenses for food regulation. And I thought, they're misinformed. They're just misunderstanding, because our common culture is, it's thought of that way. We've been kind of brought up to think that. So I realized, I actually called Bentonville, Arkansas, Walmart's corporate, and I spoke to a customer service representative on the telephone, and she said, no, we don't have any policy, no shoes, no shirt, no service. We don't do that at Walmart, not our our statute. The only variance is if the general manager made a distinctive choice, they could not accommodate within that store. But we don't encourage that, and we really don't like that. And she said, I'm going to send emails out to the area you live in, all the Walmart stores, and make sure that this is adjusted. And I apologize, because you should have never been approached, and no one should have ever said anything to you about no shoes, because that's not our policy. That's not our corporate policy. And so, well, thank you. And what I found out about this is I moved back to where I grew up around Springfield, Illinois. And there's three Walmarts within Springfield. And they kept all three of those stores when I came back last year directly confronted me about not having shoes on. And it's
wow.
The middle of the summer. Well, after I called Bentonville, they all look at me and they kind of smile and they don't say a word. So I thought this lady up there in the corporate office did exactly what she told me she would do, because all three of these stores were notified, and they all, I mean, virtually within a couple of days later, I went into each one of these stores just to find out. And all three
right.
of them look at me and smile, and they don't say anything. So I thought I didn't want to get anyone in trouble directly, that I wanted them to follow the rules and quit hassling me about, you know, about bothering me.
Absolutely.
And when you look at me, maybe the bottom of my feet are dusty or dirty, but I'm, you know, I was clean and I was presentable and I just don't like to wear shoes. So when I followed it up the chain, they took care of it. So I kudos to Walmart. That's one of my experiences that I love to let anyone that's listening hear, because Walmart really, they kind of embraced me and took care of the issue right here locally without a problem. And
It was,
I thought, because I read on the website where some people will post and say, oh, they don't ever bother me at the one, my local one. And then other people will say, well, they won't let me in, or they'll turn me away at the door. And I just, I've seen different responses for different people in different areas. And if anybody has that issue, call Bentonville. They took care of me. I think they'll take care of other people. And I thought that was great. So whatever they're doing at the local level, if they give you trouble, if you call Arkansas, they dealt with it right away. And I went through this summer, the whole summer, and just yesterday, it was for some reason 75 degrees in Illinois. It's kind of unusual in November, but I walked around and, you know, spent an hour in there and bought a bunch of stuff, and, you know, I don't have any troubles at all. And so I get to be happy. I get to stay in my bare feet. So that's, and I'm an advocate. I will talk to people about it whenever they've said something. Some people are nice. Some people think it's cute. Some people get a kick out of it. They'll say, where's your shoes? And I'll just say, hey, they're at home where they belong. You know, it's a nice day out. And,
in the closet. Covered with dust.
Yeah, for sure. I think a lot of people get a kick out of it. We're just raised in the United States, a lot of situations too. I think there's pictures of me as a baby learning to walk in toddler and baby shoes. I mean, I just think all of us were taught that this is the proper way, or so many of us were. And it just kind of stays with us throughout our lives. So, but a
what
lot
it
of
seems
them
to be, what it seems to be is like a conforming. And what amazes me is this country was built on defiance itself, defying any kind of government body that tried to control our lives. And it's amazing that the American people are baffled by these concepts of people defying the norm. But that's what our country was built off of, and that's what makes us so free, and what a great and wonderful country that we live in. is there our ability to defy the normal. And if it doesn't hurt anybody else, then what's the harm in it? There's none,
right?
Because there is no harm. And it's just, it baffles me too when they're like, oh, you need to wear shoes and flip-flops are acceptable. If you think about flip-flops, it takes all the dirty, nasty stuff on the ground and on your feet, and it flings it up in the air. How is that sanitary at all and acceptable, and bare feet aren't? And the other thing is, too, is when you wear shoes, the bottom of your shoes comes in contact with all the dirty, nasty things on the ground, but that's cleaner than not wearing feet, or than, you know, not wearing shoes.
Yeah, it's a misconception, to say the least. They just
don't think it out.
They just say, hey, this is how it is, and don't give it much thought. And what you said about the founding fathers, read the things that Benjamin Franklin wrote. He would have been the first president if he hadn't have been up there in age. The things that Thomas Jefferson, all these founding fathers that fought for our freedom, they were not about having government control or local society control your the things you did, as long as it didn't bother anyone else. They didn't write laws. And so this idea that there is laws or there's regulations or there's like food regulations, I know better than that because I work in that business. There are no regulations, state, local, federal, or food safety issues. Like I heard what you were saying before I was on the call. About the food being raised up to belly level or eye level. I remember it was 18 inches off the floor. That is the regulation. So, who puts their feet a foot and a half above the floor and grabs? I mean, it just doesn't make sense that people have these ideas.
Don't understand too, that shoes are like big petri dishes.
Yes.
It's dark, it's damp, it's a perfect area for bacteria to grow. Shoes are so much grosser than bare feet. My feet, I have bad foot odor, and it's developed a little bit more. I'm like 24 years old, and it's only in the past couple of years has my foot odor just gotten worse. And I've noticed as I've been getting older, my feet sweat more and more. And not only has my foot odor completely been eliminated because that fungus and those bacteria can't exist in the environment outside of shoes, it's just that health benefit too. And doctors will never talk about that because not wearing shoes is free. They can't make money off of you at all. They can't tell you to go buy something. They would just simply tell you if they would do this, you'd be like, just don't wear shoes so much. But that doesn't make anybody any money.
Yeah. Yeah, they'd rather sell you some, specialized, $200 pair of shoes that, they might not sell them directly, but they have associates that they'll refer you to, and it's like any other medical thing. So,
right.
I totally believe that. And it's I forgot what I read about being a billion-dollar industry or something on selling shoes in the United States. So they make a lot of money on them, and they're fast. Some of them are fashionable, and I don't hate shoes directly, but I don't think I should be forced to wear them every waking moment of the day. I should wear them if they're needed or if I want to. But if I want to walk around and somebody see my feet, well, they see my feet in flip-flops the same way. So, I just don't get the ideas that they have about trying to conform people to follow this standard, so to speak. It's not logical. And whenever I try to, that's exactly what I try to do when someone says something to me or gets their nerve up, or that's just their personality, and they're like, "Where are your shoes?" I use that as a chance, not as a logical statement, more than an argument, just a statement on, "Don't you get cuts?" I said, "No, I don't, and my feet don't have a bunch of callus on them, or they're real rough, I wore the callus off walking around barefoot. My toes are straightened out. You know, I say, actually, I've improved immensely, and I've not got a piece of glass or something jammed in my foot at all. So once you build up for it, you go back to your natural state, there's always the chance to get hurt in any environment doing anything. But
I mean, there's always a risk, and it's like about when people always ask me where my shoes are at, I'm a bit of a jokester, and I use comedy a lot. Just kind of the person I am. They're like, where are your shoes at? And I look down and I go, oh my goodness. Oh crap, I forgot. Thank you for letting me know I wasn't wearing shoes. I was not even aware. I couldn't even tell. Thanks for informing me.
I think I'm
going
to start using that one.
And also, like, so I've noticed using comedy sometimes, it helps really break that ice. They know that you're not going to be rude or I can't really think of any words because I'm on the spot and I'm just, you know, it's a baffling concept, really, that people just don't have this innate understanding at all because they've just been, you know, copy and paste it or press in this cookie cutter format that, you know, today in the society, and I don't mean to sound like a hippie, but, you know, well, I am, but, you know.
Sure. Well.
But that's where the standard came from. Only the hippies walk around without shoes on. Well, nowadays, let's fast forward 40 plus years. Nowadays, everybody, you know, some are hippies, some are right wing, some are left wing, some are this, some are that, but it doesn't have anything to do with a political statement. And nowadays, when they say, where are your shoes? I'll look at them and I'll just kind of smile and say, well, I don't know, where are your gloves? Aren't you afraid of cutting your hands?
Right.
And they'll be like, well, no, my hand. And I said, well, that's where your feet are. It will be too if you quit binding them up in those shoes and make them all soft and weak. They'll be the same as, you know, you don't cut your hands up grabbing things and holding things. I don't cut my feet the same way I don't cut my hands. So if I cut my hands, it's because I was working on a car and busted my knuckles or something. It was, you know, not a normal situation. But
Well, you're putting your hands where they're going to get injured. You don't. You're more aware when you don't wear shoes, and you're very aware of your environment when you walk. You kind of still look down at the ground as you're walking to know where you're going and to see the environment in front of you and then adjust accordingly. I mean, there's been several situations where I was walking on a gravel road, and gravel is never comfortable. I mean, I've tried to get used to it, but it's still just, I got avoided as much as possible. I see a gravel walkway, I try to walk on the grass.
Those
rocks hurt. But
they kind of do.
Yeah, they well, they're man-made in a way, too. They're busted up into those small pieces. And I think if I was maybe an American Indian out west and I grew up that way, maybe they wouldn't bother me. But in my particular situation, I'm not really – my feet aren't that strong yet. And I work on it. They're better than they were a year ago. They're better than they were 2 years ago. I mean, they're better than they were, but no, gravel's a little uncomfortable. I bet the funniest thing was a couple of my friends in Florida, I saw them walk across gravel like it was grass, like it didn't bother. And I said, doesn't that get to you? And they're like, no, I'm used to it.
I feel like they're lying a little bit, though.
they probably are.
They're trying to create that illusion that nothing's wrong. But I walk on gravel like nothing hurts, and I try to keep a straight face. But you know, but inside I'm screaming.
It depends on too whether or not it's been, you know, whether it's kind of worn a bit, or like if it's used and kind of flattened out, and you know what I mean. Or if it's loose. Now, we bought a house, and our flower beds, where the flower beds are, there's a bunch of gravel. It's like white gravel. And I go out there, and I'll walk in it, and it hurts because you know, because it's not smoothed out. All the rocks are sticking up at different angles and all that. Now, there's been, like, my daughter was a cheerleader, and there's parking lots out there, and there's a bunch of gravel out there. I could walk on that perfectly fine. And it just depends because of the angle of the rocks and whether or not it's been used a lot. But
or
I'll use
eroded
or
smoothed out by weathering.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, it just depends on the gravel. I have the river rocks around the back part of my house. So those pebbles, they're smooth for the most part, and I can walk on those just fine. But the whole gravel thing, it just depends on how much it's been used, I think, on as to whether or not it's going to hurt.
Yeah, the sharp edges are worn off a little more compared to, yeah.
I almost feel like, you know, the man is doing that on purpose to get us to wear shoes. Like, let's lay this gravel down so barefoot people can't walk here. We don't want those hippies around.
Well, don't know. I have to really, the bottom line with my whole thoughts on all of it is, leave me alone. So I'm not bothering anybody. Leave me alone. Yeah, I'm not bothering you. Don't bother me. And saying that I'm going to sue or somebody would sue because they cut their foot, I mean, in all reality, judges are people, too, and if they actually got a case like that, they'd look at it and be like, well, you took the risk yourself, so you're responsible for your own actions. I don't understand how anybody would win a suit like that if they tried.
In this day and age, we seem to have this mentality that we're not responsible for our actions, and the choices we make aren't our fault. So anything that happens to us when we make those choices – and we hit this like this point that we regret our choice, so we make somebody else pay for it because we made the mistake, but it's not our fault, is what we seem to be raised in nowadays.
Yeah, it's more so than ever before, I believe. I do remember something from several years ago about somebody going through a drive-thru in McDonald's, and the worker handed them a hot coffee. And the person grabbed the coffee from the top of the cup and popped the lid off, and they got hit with hot coffee, and they sued McDonald's and won. And how retarded is that? How ridiculous is that they actually won? Because they grabbed the top of the cup and made it pop off, and then they want to blame the company and the worker because it was a defective lid. I mean, McDonald's came out with a new lid that they've used ever since, after that made public, that was actually a national story that was in the media for a while about, and how ridiculous, all my friends, coworkers, they said, how ridiculous is that, you know, that they don't take, you know, they're not held responsible for taking the coffee correctly out of the, you know, it's not like
in taking the coffee like that, that was kind of her fault, but I worked in a coffee machine repair shop, so, and I know a lot about coffee and what temperature it's brewed at. Coffee's supposed to be brewed at 160 to 170 degrees Fahrenheit, but McDonald's was brewing theirs at like 210 or something like that, some ridiculous temperature. So it was kind of their fault, but still, the way she grabbed the coffee, yes, it was her fault too. But then, you know, like that situation, there's a little bit more of a factor to it. And it's just the same way when you go barefoot. If you hear glass break, and as a barefooter, when I hear glass break, it's like, you know, hearing a tornado siren, you know. It's like, okay, where was that and where can I avoid it?
Exactly.
Campfire, don't walk through it, you know. I mean,
you smell smoke, get away.
Yeah. Like, go into the Lego store and.
Common sense should mean something.
Common sense is not that common. I don't think we can even call it common sense anymore.
Yeah,
no.
I think you're on to something there.
Yes, uncommon sense.
Yeah. It used to be common.
Sure, absolutely.
Formerly known as common sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. Go ahead.
Oh, no, the only thing I was going to say in addition to that was I knew about the coffee thing because I worked at Bud-O-Matic in Springfield. That's where they manufacture a big part of the machines. The Bun families, like, started this city, and they have this coffee, you know, and Bun is like the standard of commercial coffee makers, or, you know, one
very
of the
much.
Standards.
Yeah, I have one. I love it. I won't have
anything
other than
that. Nope. Well, it's beautiful quality. It's really great tasting and everything. And I just remember I worked on the assembly line there, and every assembly line they had, they'd transfer me around and have me work in different areas. And I actually got the refrigeration license so I could test the they had
the Freon
snow cone machines and stuff. Yeah, the Freon.
Your Bun Ultras and, yep.
Yeah, so I did work in the different areas, and I knew about what the temperatures were supposed to be by Bun standards. And I heard that about McDonald's, that their temperatures were so much higher, and I'm like, why are they doing that? Is that publicity? And I asked the boss about it, and he just kind of rolled his eyes and said, well, I don't know, you better ask McDonald's about that, because we sell them the machines, and then they make the adjustments. And some of what they had in McDonald's were, it depended on the franchise where they purchased their units, but most of them had Bun equipment, and it wasn't Bun that was doing it. It was McDonald's, or some kind of advertising.
Yeah, they were resetting their thermostats. Basically, because there's an adjustment you can do on the thermostat. But, yeah. But it's just, yeah, it's all this just seems to be, it's ridiculous. And people look at you like you're ridiculous, and you're just trying to live your life.
Yeah.
And who's really being ridiculous is, it's like a five-year-old concept, it seems. Like, this childlike concepts that we have. Like, remember when you were a kid, and there's a kid over there in a corner doing something you didn't like? So you started crying and whining and telling somebody older than you to make them stop because you don't like what they're doing. And you remember being told as a child, you can't do that. That's wrong. Like, leave them alone. They're not hurting anybody. But we seem to lose that later on in life when we seem to think that we can control what people do. And it's wrong. That's what's wrong. Me not wearing shoes is not wrong. You telling me what to do is wrong.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And like I was telling her when we had a conversation over Facebook Messenger, I had enlisted into the service, and unfortunately I suffered an injury during boot camp and they sent me home. But it just kind of upsets me to think that I was going to sacrifice my life, both physically and like the things I could do outside of the military, for a country that seems to oppress free thought and free thinking. And it's just ridiculous that I was going to fight for the freedom to oppress those who just want to live a lifestyle that doesn't hurt anybody.
The military is the military. They have standards for obviously good reasons, but when you're in general population, there's no reason to regulate us like that. And, a lot of people, like I was saying about the responses that I get, usually when I explain myself or throw something comical out there like you do, the walls come down, and a lot of people, a surprising amount of people to me, were funny about it. Like they enjoyed it. Like it was something that they would do if they thought it was acceptable. I was in a Dollar General, which that's another one that I think is got an issue. Mm-hmm. And I'd go in there, and the employees were nice, and everybody was real cool. And the manager one day, she just popped out and she goes, "Where are your shoes?" And I said, "They're not on my feet. Why do you ask?" And she goes, "Well, you can't be in here without shoes." And I said, "No." can I ask why not? Am I bothering anybody? And she says, well, no, that's just our company policy standard. No, you can't be in here with that. I sat out in the car for a few minutes, and I was just kind of like, I just don't believe that woman. And I saw the cashier that she worked a lot, and she was always real cool to me. And she was sitting outside after that because she kind of looked at me and looked at the manager, and then she didn't say anything. And when I started my car up and started to back out, I saw that she was sitting in her car on the side of the building. And I drove over that direction, and I rolled my window down, and I just kind of laughed, and I said, well, I said, is that going to occur again anytime she's here? And she said, well, I don't know. She said, I'm not sure. Since she said something, maybe. I really can't answer. I really don't know. And I said, well, I have to say I'm an advocate of staying in your bare feet and working your, you know, almost half the bones in your body are in your 2 feet, and all the nerve endings and everything. I really am an advocate of this, and to condense what I said. And she looked at me and she laughed, and she goes, she opened her car door. She was sitting in the driver's seat, and she opened her car door and she goes, well, I hear what you're saying. And she opened her car door and she showed me, and she was sitting there in her socks. And I said, oh, you're on your break. You came out here and took your shoes off. I don't have to say a word to you, do I? And she laughed and she goes, no, you don't. I agree with you. I think it's cool you're out in your bare feet. I don't see that around here hardly ever, but I'm totally with you. I don't like shoes at all. They kill me. I work 10, 12-hour days, and first thing I do is my shoes come off. And I said, well, you're cool. My name's Terry. Nice to meet you. And anyway, but, yeah, so, I mean, her boss just got on a customer about being in the store without shoes, and she goes outside and takes her shoes off.
So quite the man.
It's a closet thing, you know. Is I think if people got accustomed to it, or they grew up not wearing them all the time, it would be the normal behavior instead of the abnormal behavior. It would be the normal.
It seems like concepts of change scare people.
Yeah, and there's no need for it, especially with no shoes. I mean, come on, you know. It's,
right. It seems to baffle me too, though, is why would you run a customer out of a store? Not to say that we're all cattle and consumers and we just, you know, bye, you know, but why would you, basically you're kicking dollar bills out the door. Why would you do that? Why would you hurt your business like that? Because not only are you giving somebody that experience where they might not ever come back, but they're going to tell other people and those people might not come.
Yeah.
Right.
Good business.
I know that's pretty common for the Dollar Generals to be that way. And the ones that are here in my town, they actually have like a whole big list of do's and don'ts. You know, you have to, you know, wear shoes, no pets. You have to have a shirt on. You know, there's a big long list. I took a picture of one day when I was about to go into one. And in the picture is that sign and my bare foot sticking out there. And I went in, you know, I've been into Dollar General several times, and I've only been confronted one time. And she's like, ma'am, you got to have shoes on in here, after I asked where a certain item was. And I was like, oh, okay. And I just kept walking. And
that's the best response. Yeah.
And
you know,
there wasn't a whole lot she could say.
Sometimes they're like,
I have to say, in our Dollar Generals all around Springfield area, there's several of them, and none of them have that sign up of no shoes or whatever. They don't have anything like that posted, so it's not like I'm even breaking their rules because there's
some of the rules. makes sense, like not having a dog, but my feet aren't going to jump up and bite you.
Yeah.
Right.
They're not going to jump up and eat the food off the shelf either.
I'm not going to, like, well, spontaneously kick you in the face. Like, I don't, why are they so afraid?
And of all places, you know, a small little store like that, it doesn't even sell, like, it doesn't even have the grocery store mentality where there's produce or anything like that.
Right.
You know, there's just, you know, there is some freezer goods in there now. I mean, there is edibles in there, but it's not, you know, everything
is
packaged.
Edible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you consider the food at Dollar General edible, I don't know if you've ever had a hot dog there, but it tastes like the packaging.
No. Oh, no. I don't do hot dogs anyways, but that's a whole nother story. But, I mean, you know, there's junk food in there and, you know, stuff in cans and stuff, you know. So, I mean, they don't even have the excuse of we have produce in here. I mean, it's just a social conformity.
Right.
They just want you to do what they said for some reason.
Right.
And
it's like you're not
and,
my parent. And even if you were, I wouldn't let you tell me what to do. I'm an adult.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, you guys, we have approximately a minute and a half left on our show, and I've had a really great time talking with you guys, and you guys are hilarious. It's been fun.
Well,
thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
I really hope that we can have y'all back on the show and share some more stories and you know, some more experiences and insight and all that. That would be so wonderful. And I just wanted to thank you, Terry, and thank you, Dakota, and thank Erin for being with us today. She's already left, and she's taking her son to the Egypt thing that she was talking about earlier. But I've really enjoyed today. And everybody check out our group on Facebook if you haven't already. And barefoottvshow.com for the documentary information. And
awesome.
We will see everybody again next week. And or well, not see you guys, but you'll hear from us. And thanks for coming on, guys.
Thanks for having me, and I'd be glad to come back.
All right, awesome.
I just appreciate it very much, and everybody stay in your bare feet once in a while. Enjoy life.
Absolutely. And that's it, guys. We're off air now.
Okay. All right.
Thank you so much. Y'all are awesome.
Thank you.
You're
you guys have a good evening.
Doing all this stuff to reach out to people. You're awesome. So.
Thanks.
Yeah, keep up the good work, guys, and I'll definitely try to come back again. So.
Nice. Yeah. All right. Y'all have a good week.
You too.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.